Yesterday I was talking about losing my religion, and it occurs to me once again that is the name of the game. Remember, religare is the etymological word origin of the word religion, and religare means to bind. Think of the word regulate. It's the same etymology, to bind and to control. And all of these man-made snares, if you like, whether they be in the pharmaceutical industries, whether they be through media manipulation, particularly advertising and the art of persuasion, through the bogus arts of psychiatry with its made up illnesses like ADHD, attention deficit disorder, whether it be through the lies of the television or film, the false promises of the lying ministers known as politicians, or whether it be out and out orthodox organized religions, they're all there to bind the individual, to tie his mind down, to steal his soul. And that is really what it's all about. And the individual, once he comes to that realization, his task henceforward is to, like Gulliver awaking from his sleep, where he's been tied down by the Lilliputians by all manner of ties, barbs, wires and the like, is to stand free of all that, to pull them from the body, from the mind, and thereby escape it, and thereby lose one's religion. And it's not enough to loosen it, because that is the pitfall that awaits the one who, I suppose, is halfway between losing his religion and stepping into a new religion in the shape of the New Age, which which makes me chuckle. But the New Age is another religion, essentially. And this brings me onto the subject of mankind's origins, whence he is from. Take the Darwin theory, and you will be buying into the religion of survival of the fittest, whereby you accept the notion that mankind is somehow descended from the apes. Is it descended or ascended? I'm never quite sure. And but his origins are, that's his evolution, that he's growing beyond that. And the likes of Terence McKenna, who was another priest, whichever way you want to look at it, who was spinning out airy gossamers of distortions and presumptions and the rest of it, often very poetic, I have to say, and very seductive. But then again, a lot of priests, a lot of proselytizers can be seductive. That's the name of the game when you're working as a priest in any kind of religion. He argued, Terence McKenna, that the missing link was in fact entheogenic, in that the monkey on the savannah came across some magic mushrooms, ate them, and it was in that instant that his consciousness expanded. McKenna put forward the religious view that an expansion in consciousness in that primate occurred as a direct consequence of him ingesting a psychedelic substance. Now, that is very poetic and very imaginative, and I must admit, for a time, it was a notion that I bought into. Again, it makes me laugh to think of all these things that I have in the past bought into, different religions. But encouragingly, I have found that they don't stick. If they're not true, they don't stick, providing, of course, one's exercising one's critical faculties. You know, and that means not just using the left side of the brain, the analytical part of the brain, but using the whole brain. So using the right side with its intuitive, rhythmic qualities, as well as the analytical qualities of the left side of the brain. You know, and in that sense, life can be seen as a magical dance, an exploration that requires critical thinking as well as the ability to dance with it, I suppose. Life is a dance. And that's where I kind of I am with Terence McKenna. As much as I enjoyed his lyrical content, I have to see it now as a form of religion that he was espousing. And it becomes even more interesting when you dip into the work of Jan Irvin at Gnostic Media and you see the evidence that Terence McKenna, as he said himself, was an undercover CIA agent. He was in the employ of the Secret Services, which were created out of the Tavistock Institute, which was heavily manipulated by the likes of the arch-eugenicist and all-around cunt Aldous Huxley, author of The Island and The Doors of Perception. And then, of course, you can expand it from that and you begin to see how, and again, this is all at Gnostic Media, you can begin to see how it all is, as I was saying in the previous podcast, it's a form of stagecraft. Everything has been staged. And the likes of Aldous Huxley were the screen writers or the script writers. And their agents were those men operating in the CIA and manipulating events through a variety of false flag mechanisms, like the Gulf of Tonkin, which was the event that took the US into, that created the pretext for the US to enter into war with Vietnam. That was engineered. Or a key engineer in the whole episode was the father of Jim Morrison, lead singer of The Doors. And then from that, you follow that trail and you see that those musicians who came from the Laurel Canyon enclave in the 1960s and out of the Esalen Institute were similarly agents, whether or not they knew it, I suspect they did, because many of them without exception all had the common thread, which was that their parents had military backgrounds. And that, when you begin to expand the awareness and understanding of just what was going on, is immense. There's some clever fuckers at play out there. Some very, very clever script writers. And as I've been posting in the latest article, I think this harkens back to the Phoenicians, or the Venetians with a V. You see, the English language, as we know, is a cunning tool if used by a master craftsman, of which, you might well say quite convincingly, Aldous Huxley was one example. And then, of course, you begin to look into how the likes of George Bernard Shaw was propounded as eugenicist, or eugenics theories. You see from there that George Orwell was a former officer in the Burmese military, I think he was in the police. And you realise that a lot of these revered writers and artists were on the payroll of the state. And again, they were statists, so they were purveyors of religion. Because statism, as we expressed the other day, is simply the erroneous belief in there being some kind of authority outside oneself that one has to buy into, that one buys into. You're giving up your own authority in order to believe and accept someone else's. And it's a socialist affair, but let's face it, that's the current plight of mankind. And I think anything that binds the mind is, by definition, a religion, particularly when it requires unthinking, blind faith. So, the term losing one's religion, the more I think about it, is a very beautiful exposition of what is necessary if one is to truly grow out of it and upwards and onwards in the style of Gulliver releasing himself from the physical barbs, the wires and the trappings of the Lilliputians, of those who were controlling. And Jonathan Swift, an Irish writer, was working in the 1700s and putting out this stuff, and he was clearly a man who was against statism. He was an anti-statist, and he was a thorn in the side of those Venetians who were, through a variety of means, seeking to manipulate events and control the populations via those manipulations. As in Jewish saying, there ain't have been some clever bastards. There ain't have been some clever bastards. You can't argue with that. But of course, it's not really clever to be manipulating mankind like that for your own avaricious ends. I don't think it does one's soul, if that's not getting too prosaic, any good at all. They say karma's a bitch. But it's going to kick you in the ass. Well, maybe it's not quite as clear-cut as that if you are a manipulator behind the scenes. Remember, it's those that actually carry out the actions that commit the trespasses and the acts of violence against others on behalf of someone else who's given them orders. They are the ones who are morally culpable, morally responsible. And from that we can extrapolate, you see, that the agents of the state, the liars and the deceivers who come in the shape of those highly paid individuals known as solicitors. Remember, of course, it's in Britain, prostitution is not illegal, but soliciting is. So, is a lawyer a prostitute? Well, like a prostitute, a lawyer will do all kinds of things for the money. Pull off all kinds of cheap tricks in order to get the one eye, the mon eye. And we're back to that again. Now, the lying lawyers are the ones that are responsible for so much of this erroneous bullshit that we see around us. And for, you know, if we look at the state as a religion, then it's most, those ties that were holding Gulliver down the times, I suppose, can be likened to the statutes, the rules and regulations, the petty the petty legislation that keeps mankind bound down and inhibits him and prevents him from being all that he could be, in the sense that it's, you know, he gets programmed at school into believing that certain punishments will be enacted against him should he break the rules. And of course, by the time he leaves school, he's become very deeply rinsed, if you like, in these rules, in these regulations, whereby he's taught almost Pavlovian-like that if he does this, he will receive a reward. If he carries out action B, he will be punished. And so he learns from an early age just what is required of him in order to fit into the system. And that is why, but underneath all this, you see, really, everyone has a rebel heart. Because it goes against the grain. Mankind is not really here to be controlled. It's not our natural state. And that is why everyone relates to a rebel. Why the smart-ass kid in the classroom who gives lip to the teacher is regarded with some admiration by the others. Because he's speaking the unsaid thoughts of his fellow mates, his classmates. You know, and again, we can extrapolate from that the understanding of as to why your average stand-up comedian, like Michael McIntyre, to name but one, who's in a, all these are sort of licensed court jesters, particularly those who are operating out of the BBC, because they're agents of mass distraction, but they're also serving a psychological purpose in that they are there to help release the taboos and the petty frustrations that build up in man as a consequence of him not being able to realise his full potential and express himself as the multidimensional divine creature that he truly is. So Michael Stipe got it right when he said, "That's me in the corner, losing my religion," because that's what's necessary. But of course, the danger is that as one sheds one straitjacket, one slips into another, maybe a more comfortable one, but nevertheless another straitjacket of erroneous belief, of statism, another form of mind control. It's remarkable to tell that anyone breaks free of this when you think about it. But then again, it's unremarkable because that is man's natural state. Take man out of his artificial confines and his constructs, whether they be physical, biological, or psychological, and he will morph into something else. He will become that which he always was, that which lies underneath.